around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here this Tuesday. We'd like to welcome each of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Another month is all but gone. We're about to enter into September. You know, God is doing a lot of things. Some things we see, we understand, we grasp, we discern. Some we don't see, we don't grasp, we do not discern. But even then, God is still working in the earth. God is doing things. God wants to touch your life. God wants to minister to you. He wants you to be strong in the coming days. I heard a young man the other day, Josh Giles, said the Lord has spoken to him and that we're going to be more agriculture disruptions in America, and it would evolve around drought. I would encourage everyone to make preparation and be as wise as you can. Joseph prepared, and God used him, and God created the drought. The drought was organized of God to get Jacob, the family, down to Goshen in Egypt and begin to birth and raise a nation. God can use a drought relative to judgment. As I shared with you yesterday from Zechariah chapter 14, God said, I'm going to withhold the rain. When God withholds rain, you'll have drought and agriculture difficulties. Zechariah 14, 17, even upon them shall be no rain. God is the one that gives us rain and gives us blessings. Now, you may not believe that. You may think all this just happens because it happens, but that's not true. Listen to this prophecy, you might say. In Acts chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. God allows nations like America to walk in their own vile and filthy, debauched, debased ways. But verse 17, Acts 14, 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. A bountiful crop always brings gladness in the sphere, the realm of agriculture. Rain is a blessing from God. No rain is a judgment from God. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand these things. I believe with all of my heart, if you will pray and seek God, God can cause it to rain in your part of the country, and there be bountifulness and crops to take care of that locality. Other localities, God withholds the rain. They suffer profusely. I believe that. You may disagree with that. That's perfectly all right. But God said there in Acts 14:16, who in times past suffered all nations to walk after their own ways, he'll let a nation walk in their filth, their debauchery, their debasedness, and the end results will be no rain, famine, pestilences, all of these sad and tragic things. I want to play a song before we get back into the teaching today to conclude here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. I played Love Lifted Me yesterday from Walt Mills. I want to play another song that I think will speak to your heart. When I stand before my Savior, every one of us will stand before the Savior.
When my soul has taken flight from this fragile house of clay, and I stand before my Savior face to face, just let me bow before Him and for a million years adore Him and know the joy of feeling His embrace. And I'll cry, worthy is the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll sing glory to the one who took my blame. And I'll lift up my hands in worship and praise His name. When I stand before my Savior face to face, when at last my eyes behold Him, and He's looking down on me, reaching forth His hands to wipe away my tears. I'll look in His eyes divine and take those nail-scarred hands in mine, and know His love will never disappear. And I'll cry, worthy is the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll sing glory to the one who took my blame. And I'll lift up my hands in worship and praise His name. When I stand before my Savior face to face, when I stand before my Savior face to face,
when I stand before my Lord face to face. Walt Mill has gone on to be with the Lord. It's a beautiful song. When I stand before my Savior. Think of that. We all will stand before the Lord one day. You will stand whether you're ready or not. you'll stand before the Lord. And you want to stand before him with clean hands and a pure heart. Daniel chapter 12, verse 13, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. This verse addresses the fact that Daniel will pass away before these events ever come to fruition. However, God assures Daniel he will participate in the first resurrection, and at the end of the 1,335 days, he will be given his lot or portion regarding the new kingdom age. Part of the inheritance of the redeemed is that we will be allowed to rule with Christ in the kingdom age. We will also be made worthy to judge angels. Did you know that? This is part of the role of the kingdom age. Paul told the church at Corinth, talking about going to court, that Christians should never take another Christian to court. Now, some people will tell you they're Christian, and they will not pay their bills, they will not honor their work that they've done for you, but they're not Christians if they do that. So sometimes you have to use the court to get justice, if you can even get it there. But Paul says to the church at Corinth concerning judgment, the justice of God and the earth during the kingdom age, he says to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 and 3, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye not worthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? I won't get into all of that, but if you'll go back and reread 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is admonishing the church, don't take your brother to court. Find the most anemic, weak person, or the least person in the church. Let them hear the matter and accept their judgment. The reason being, Paul says, the saints are going to judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you not worthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? I'm not certain I understand that in its entirety, but we are going to judge angels. Now, some might ask the question, is that the fallen angels? The angels that are held in chains of darkness? I don't know. They've already been judged in a sense by being held captive by God. But the kingdom age is going to be like nothing you and I have ever seen or witnessed. I remember some time ago in prayer, several years ago in prayer, the Lord laid on my heart, he said, you have a department called the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., but it's really a department of injustice. We just don't see justice coming out of the Department of Justice, do we? We see inequities. We see injustices. All the evil. You know it. I know it. You see it. I see it. We all see this. And all of these people think they're getting by. They may get by on this side of eternity. They will not get by on the other side of eternity. Romans 14:11 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow unto me, every tongue shall confess unto God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself unto God." There's not one, no one will get by, not one. All men will give an account of their lives to God. Oh, they will scurry around. They will have so many excuses. All of these evil, corrupt political leaders are going to stand before God. You know, you and I, most of you listening to me, you're a devout Christian. You love the Lord. You have fear. You have godly fear of the Lord. And yet we look at people who stand on national television and lie habitually. Habitual liars. They lie like none other. As Adrian Rogers so well said, no one is more like the devil than when they lie. Lie. Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. There's a place for liars in hell. Or I should say the lake of fire. God says don't bear false witness. Look at old Hillary Rodham Clinton. Made all this stuff up about Donald Trump, Russiagate. And she'll tell you to this day, I'm a devout Methodist. I love the Lord. After she lost the presidential election, she said, I'm going to work on my relationship with the Lord. These people are what we know as apostates, reprobates. But see, power and money drives men to be evil doers. But praise be unto God. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven, going to come back riding the great white stallion, going to rule with a rod of iron, going to rule with a rod of iron, establish his kingdom in the earth, and his government will begin to go across the earth like water. It'll start in Jerusalem, and it will go forth from his throne here in Jerusalem on the earth. Isaiah gives us biblical proof that the kingdom age and that the redeemed will share in Christ's justice and judgment. According to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, of the increase of his government. His government will increase. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is going to perform judgment and justice throughout the entirety of the earth. You and I have never known, we've never seen, we have never experienced a world in which there will be absolute righteous government and righteous judgment in the earth. But it will, because the word of the Lord has spoken it. Again, whether we believe it or not, whether we stand on God's word or not, doesn't make any difference. God's word is going to do what God said it would do. Amen. Praise God. It will come to pass. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding, peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. The passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. Now, I read that from the NLT, New Living Translation. I want you to hear that, what you might say in modern vernacular. Isaiah 9, 7. His ever-expounding, peaceful government will never end. There won't even be a war during the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. It will be absolute, fair, equitable justice for all. The compassionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. Because he is God, he will assure this. He will perform this. Absolute, total fairness, justice, judgment, and the earth. Luke 1:33 says, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You know, we talk about the negative stuff in America and around the world, wars, rumors of wars, the homosexual debacle in the earth, all the rioting, the stuff we've witnessed through the summer, all the carnage. There's coming a day when the kingdom of God will be established in the earth, and there shall be no end to this glorious kingdom. It will never cease to exist at the close of the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. We will enter in immediately to what is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. That is not applicable to you in any matter whatsoever. All the wicked dead will be raised, stand before God. He'll judge them. No one will see their name written in the book of life. They will be then sentenced to eternal damnation, separation from God. They will be cast into the lake of fire. Hell, the entity death, will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire must be immeasurable. There will be a kingdom where a godly, righteous king will rule and reign. There'll be no inequities. There'll be no injustices. There'll be no cheaters. None of that will exist. Can you imagine that none of that will exist whatsoever? No IRS. Think of that. There won't be no FBI. The church, the glorified saints of God, will do business for the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of our glorified body and our glorified state, there'll be no opportunity for corruption. There'll be nothing in you that can appeal to a carnalistic mind, because Satan will be bound during that thousand-year reign. Sadly, when the devil is released out of the bottomless pit for a parenthetical time, all those that were born during the millennial reign of Christ will have their opportunity to rebel or stay submitted to Christ and his government. Sadly, a vast number will cast their lot with Satan. Fire will come down from heaven, out of heaven from God, consume them. They'll be damned. They'll be destroyed. Why? They rebelled against God. That cannot happen to you because you'll be in a glorified body. That won't even be applicable to you in any capacity. You'll see it. You'll understand it without any doubt, but it won't have any effect on you whatsoever because you'll be in a glorified state just like Christ. Another little footnote concerning the kingdom age, and that is that the apostles will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this is going to be God's government. I will go as far as to say the church, of course, the apostles will be a part of the church, but those 12 apostles are going to have extra authority in the earth for the purpose of judging Israel. How do we know? Jesus said in Luke 22, verses 29 and 30, "And I have appointed you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The 12 apostles will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, as I just said, the apostles are part of the church. I'm not an apostle, neither are you. But the 12 apostles, and I believe Paul will be the 12th, not Matthias, who they cast lots. I believe Paul will be the substitution of Judas Iscariot. I could be wrong. Paul does say in the book of Galatians chapter 1, he was born out of due season, but he did see the Lord, did he not? Oh, he had, as I said, I've been rereading the book of Acts. There were so many times Paul saw the Lord. You see, that was one of the qualifications of being a true apostle. You had to physically, personally have seen the Lord. Paul saw the Lord many times. You and I will be made kings and priests. Revelation 1 and 6, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." So we're going to be kings and priests. In the Old Testament, a king could not do a priestly job or service, and a priest could not do a king's service. But John the Revelator says we have been made kings and priests. Who knows? He may combine the two and make them one. I don't know. We're going to reign with him as kings and as priests. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation." He's talking about the church here. "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." See, the old priesthood was not royal because it still was tainted with sin. The church will be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We, are going to be something special. I'm not talking about the short bus. We're going to be divinely unique because of the Spirit of Christ that rules and reigns now in us, but will in the end rule in the earth. For you and I to reign with him as kings, there must be a coming kingdom because presently there is not one. There was not one then. Thus Christ said, pray thy kingdom come. This is why you've heard the kingdom now theology, replacement theology, that the church has taken the place of Israel. That is not true. That will never be true. It won't even be true in the kingdom age. Because the apostles, I just shared with you from Luke 22, 29 and 30, the apostles will rule and judge over the 12 tribes of Israel. They will even be distinct in the kingdom. Let me share that again. You have these yahoos running around espousing this stuff. Ask them to explain Luke 22, verses 29 and 30. And I have appointed you a kingdom. We are appointed unto a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The apostles are going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. This is a unique thing. This will even be taking place before New Jerusalem descends out of heaven from God and comes to the earth. Because it will be at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ when he's going to cremate. There will be a fiery holocaust concerning this existing earth. It'll be consumed by the fire of God. We go into Revelation 21:1. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth for the new Jerusalem to come and descend and set upon a new earth, not the old earth. And it'll be on the 12 gates. You're going to see the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. It'll be on the 12 foundations, the 12 foundations, that you'll see the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, I'm going to point out something here I hope gets your attention. Now, watch this. This shows you the difference. This shows you the difference, the delineation in the church in Israel. Yet it's going to come together with one new man. But obviously there remains some element of distinction through all of this. Revelation 21, verse 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So on the gates of New Jerusalem are going to be the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now watch this. We're going to drop down to verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Did you pick up on the difference there? Verse 12 says, names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 14 says, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Israel and the Lamb. These are just little nuances that the Word of God brings out and shows to us. We see little things here and there. But the 12 apostles are going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus said that there in Luke 22, 29, and 30. Again, we're going to be made kings and priests. Peter says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. For us to reign with him as kings, there must be a coming kingdom. Because right now, there is not a kingdom in the earth. Also, there is no priesthood upon the earth at this time. If there is, who is it? Do we operate right now? You might say we do spiritually. We're talking about a literal, physical, coming kingdom. Oh, this is going to be something like man has never seen or heard. We're going to reign with him. How do I define this? He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We will be under his kingship, his lordship, his authority. But I don't believe you'll see it as a lordship in that there will be any measure of oppression whatsoever. We will desire his lordship. We will desire his kingship. We will cast our crowns at his feet. This will be a joyous kingdom. It will not be tyrannical for you and I. It will be for the world. He's going to rule with the rod of iron. That is not applicable to you and I. That is applicable to them. Now, when we do go into the dispensation of eternity, it'll be even different, I believe, personally. It'll be totally different than it was in the millennial reign of Christ. Because when those who do not rebel, these human beings that do not rebel, they live accordingly, they submit to God, they live for God, etc., go into eternity, they will also have eternal life. Don't know if they'll have a glorified body, but there'll be no sin. There'll be nothing there to tempt, to test, to try to steer away from God. There's going to be thrones. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This here in Revelation 20 and verse 4 are the redeemed who will be in glorified bodies because they were beheaded for the witness of Christ. They were beheaded for the word of God. They were beheaded because they worshiped not the beast. They were beheaded because they worshiped not the image. They were beheaded because they had not received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They're going to die a martyr's death, but they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Remember the word lived and the word is reigned. We're going to reign with him. Every one of you listening to this, you want to be a part of his glorious kingdom because Christ will remove all things that offend in his kingdom. Everything that is offensive in the kingdom of God in the end will be removed. How do we know that? We taught that, 2 years or so ago now? Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 41 and 42. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's that word again, or phrase, wailing and gnashing of teeth. We saw it at the close of Matthew 24. We saw it in Matthew 25. And here it is in Matthew 13. This is a reality. Remember, Jesus spoke of hell more than anyone else. I know people don't preach on hell. You wouldn't hear a preacher anywhere in America in general use the word hell. But it's real. When I say none, that's a talking about the liberal mindset. There are those out there who preach the truth. A heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But Jesus talked about hell a lot because it is a real place. There's a chapter. There's a whole chapter in the book of Luke. Well, not the whole chapter, but most of the chapter is committed to the subject of hell, where the rich man and Lazarus both died. Lazarus went to paradise. The rich man died. He went to hell. He went to hell. Tormented. Jesus mentions hell a lot. We just don't see it. He may not use the word hell. But think about this. Matthew 13:42. And cast them into a furnace of fire. There should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24, Matthew 25. Jesus spoke of this place. He did not necessarily use the word hell. Just like in Matthew 24:51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell. Matthew 25:30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Of course, you have the 16th chapter of Luke. Let's back up to another passage in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 49 and 50. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is hell. Jesus mentioned hell more than anyone else. Yet, ask old Joey Osteen if he's going to ever talk to people about hell. Well, no, they're never going to mention that. That's offensive. That's crass. That's abrasive. When you get concerned as a minister and you get concerned and burdened for souls, you will talk about these things because you don't want anyone going there. You don't want one soul going to that place of torment, not one. You'll scream, you'll holler, you'll preach, you'll wave your hands. You will declare the word of God without compromise. Don't go to that place, don't go to that place, don't go to that place. Yet people will go to that place because the preacher they were listening to never sought to steer them away from hell and steer them to Christ and eternal life in him. People who live in sin are not going to inherit eternal life. Christians do not live lives of sin. Christians live lives of godliness. Yet preachers, many will not preach a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Stay away from sin. Stay away from evil. Stay away from wickedness. Lay down the liquor. Lay down the beer. Lay down the pot. Quit watching the pornography. Get out of that fornication. Get out of that adultery. Get out of that sodomy. Get out of that stealing and thievery. Get out of the cheating and the lying. Get out of the gossip. Quit maligning people. Start living a godly life for Christ Jesus. That's who inherits the kingdom of God. Daniel is told here in Daniel 12 and 13, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. What days? The 1,335 days. You will be resurrected. You will stand in that day. You will inherit your lot. I believe that lot, that portion, could be the original portion of land that God promised Abraham from the Nile to the Euphrates, the 12 tribes of Israel. They'll get that part of the world theirs. Now, when we go into the new heaven and the new earth, there is no more sea. I can't tell you how it will be then. I don't have scripture to elaborate on that. I do have scripture that says there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth, and there'll be no more sea. The whole earth will be contiguous. It'll all be attached together. It'll just be rivers and lakes, I suppose, and waterfalls, et cetera, et cetera. But there'll be no more sea. I suppose that is because the sea was established because of the flood. And so all that's going to be done away with, be wiped away. You and I will have no remembrance of so many of these things. The Bible says it will not come into our mind. Isaiah 65, 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. You won't even know what the world was before then. You'll only know it as a new. We'll have, think about that. You'll have no memory of a World War I, a World War II, all the Civil War. There'll be no memory of any of that. That will all be done away in its totality. Think of these things. Think of the greatness, the vastness of these things. It's amazing. I never failed to be amazed at the magnitude and the gravity of what God says he's going to do. Who but God could create a new heaven and a new earth and say, you won't even remember the old heaven and the old earth. You know, if you could remember that, you may sense pain or sorrow or suffering or hurt or harm or injury. But when New Jerusalem comes, this will be an eternity now. The thousand-year millennial reign of Christ will have come and gone. And here's what God says in Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So here in Revelation 20, we're getting a picture of the future, and we're getting a picture of the closing of the past. God knew the end from the beginning. Closing today, I want to close with this one thought. If you remember in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, this is the harvest. The harvest takes place at Christ's second advent. There's only one harvest. There's not multiple harvests at the coming of Christ. Therefore, there can be no pre-tribulation rapture. Proverbs 10, verse 30. Proverbs 10, verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Remember, he's going to remove all things that offend. He's going to gather all things like that out of his kingdom. And Matthew 5 and 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The earth is our inheritance. Not the wicked, but the righteous. The righteous. I hope and I pray that you have gleaned, you've learned a lot in this teaching series these last probably 2 months, I suppose now, all of July and August mainly. Stay in the Word of the Lord. Stay in the Word of God. If people tell you something and they don't have Bible to authenticate, to validate what they're saying, don't listen to it. People are going to be misled because they don't know God's Word. Stay in the Word. The Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance all things relative to the Word of which Christ has spoken. He said he'll bring all things back to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said. Now here's the significance in that verse. God cannot bring anything back to your mind that you have not read or you have not heard. You have to hear it. You have to read it. If you've heard it or you have read it, then God can bring it back into your mind. That's the office of the Holy Ghost. He will bring these things to your remembrance. The Holy Ghost can quicken. He can quicken your mind and bring that to you. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So you have to either have read it or heard it, and now the Holy Ghost can bring it back to your remembrance. Stay in the Word. Baptize yourself, immerse yourself in the Word of God. I beseech you, I implore you, stay in the Word of our Lord. And as I said, you may have forgotten it. It's just not there. But because you've heard it or you have read it, the Holy Spirit of God is then able to bring it to your remembrance. Sometimes I have forgotten scriptures. And I find it amazing. This has happened so many times. He'll bring back to my mind the verse, and I have to sit there and meditate and ruminate to remember the chapter, verse, maybe even the book. But I remembered the word. I remembered the phrase. I remember what it said. Then I'll struggle and grapple and finally remember the chapter and the verse. He didn't say the Holy Ghost will bring the chapter and the verse. He said he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So if you're reading the Word of God or hearing the Word of God preached, the Holy Ghost, that's why the Holy Ghost is so significant and so important. He'll bring it back into your remembrance. Amen. God bless you. Have a great evening, a great rest of the week. We thank you so much. We thank you so much for loving us. I thank every one of you that calls our name in prayer, the ministry, my wife, my son, myself. Thank you. Thank you. And I pray that somehow we impart something back into your heart, into your life each week. I pray this ministry is a blessing to you because you are a blessing to us. I still get an anonymous money order from the state of Michigan every month. And they send a note that says, to God be the glory, amen. Don't know who the person is, never known them. They've probably been doing that for 20 years, supporting this ministry. Maybe longer than 20 years, I don't know. I thank every one of you, every one of you, for what you do for the Voice of Evangelism. You're the means that help us bring the Word of God each week, whether through YouTube or Rumble or Blog Talk Radio or television, the newsletters, all that we do first of all because we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you help us to do these things. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Whenever you get discouraged, remember, you're going to rule and reign with Christ as King and as Priest. God bless you. I'll see you next week. In the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.